Welcome, everyone. Welcome, queens. Welcome, kings. This is Ndumehle Katwane, founder of Afro Botanics, and we are doing a conversation with the queens as part of my podcast, our podcast at Afro Botanics called My Own Kind of Beautiful. And I think we've all witnessed this queen, Carol Bauer, and her beautiful journey and how she's blossomed and stretched herself. And we're so excited to have the opportunity to speak to her, especially because we got to partner with her in the last year in her journey to Miss World. Welcome, Carol. Thank you for joining us and making time to speak to me.
Thank you so much, Ndumehle. It's wonderful to have this conversation, but also to get to work with a dynamic woman who's done so much, who's achieved so much, and who's really building other women in the process. So thank you.
Thank you. And so in working with Afro Botanics, I've done a lot of research into African queens, the definition of a queen, and how I've come to realize is that every woman and man are born with the divine potential to be queen. We come from the royal king, the creator. And so every woman has a choice to make at some point in their life, in their evolution, in a lifetime, to say that I'm going to live my full divine potential. And I feel that's what you've done, because what that means is that you then start and stop living according to any boxes, according to society. You break free and you start to define your own path. You're a pioneer. And I think you've done that throughout your career, but especially with the surprise and big move into going for the license of Miss World South Africa. Please can you enlighten us as to what made you go for that license? What was the process? What was the thinking? Is it something you've always wanted to do? How long was the process?
Oh my goodness, so many answers that feed into that. So back to the ability, desire, and just taking up space just to innovate. I'll be honest with you, like everyone else, I started out sort of floating about trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life, what I wanted to do with myself, how to keep myself interested, occupied, busy, because I'm the kind of person that really gets bored very easily. And in the space of trying to find out who I was and what I wanted to achieve, opportunities were presented to me. And I think that, you know, whether some people call it the universe, I call him God. I think he sort of guided me into spaces where I needed to be and didn't even think I wanted to be. So I'll skip everything else that's happened along the way where I found myself just having opportunities that felt bigger than me. I felt I was undeserving, had to rise to the occasion, had to ensure that I delivered and delivered beyond everyone else's expectations, but my own as well. And I'll come all the way to the license for Miss World South Africa. A former schoolmate had heard about this license and, you know, thought of me. But what was interesting is that another friend that I went to school with recently sent me my plan for the next 10 years, which I had written in 2012. And in that, I outline, I want the Miss South Africa license. I want to be part of the international beauty world. I want to create a reality show. I mean, it's like this whole, and that was interesting. And then I found that document. I found that document recently, and I didn't remember that when the Miss South Africa license was up, I tried to bid for it and I went for it. Some things you sort of want to do subconsciously, and then when you fail, when you don't get them, you not only shelve the dream, but you try and kill it. And I just, from then on, I wanted nothing to do with pageantry. I never watched, I never attended, except for, I'll say, the 2 years where the 1 year I presented and the other year I judged. But I just felt like the world, this is a world that has rejected me and I want nothing to do with it. And I think also my respect for it sort of diminished in that time. So it took a lot to convince me when this lady came to me that I wanted to do it. Eventually, I agreed to have the phone call, to first write the document, submit it, and then have the phone call with the Miss World office. And in their assessing me, I think I was also assessing them to see if they were willing to do the kind of things that I would want to do if I had this license. Paramount was to ensure that women are not parading in swimsuits. And I didn't realize that that had been scrubbed years before. Here I am holding a grudge about something that had gone when it comes to the Miss World pageant.
Wait, also, they don't have swimsuits anymore because we weren't able to watch it live.
No, there's no swimsuits. So here I am thinking I'm innovating and I'm teaching them something.
Yeah.
Making sure that my work has been in the unearthing of women's power, respecting their dignity, and I will not be part of a world that wants them to parade in swimsuits on stage. If they're at the beach and they want to be in a swimsuit, here, you know. So it was interesting. So they very quickly interrupted me and said, "Child, where have you been? You know, we haven't done that yet. And if you're talking about making sure that we align with your desire to affirm women, remind them of their own power, unearth their the power within, and just make sure that they walk into every room knowing that they're enough. You don't have to teach us that, Carol. You know, we've been doing that. We, you know, Beauty with a Purpose was launched by the Miss World organization in 1971, and this is what it means, and this is how it's worked, and it's raised over £2 billion over the years. And this was all information that I did not know. I was amongst the people that felt that pageantry was dying and pageantry was, you know, degrading to women. So learning that actually all of that was incorrect was exciting, and I wanted to be a part of this journey. It's been, it's been enlightening. It's been enlightening. I think amongst the things I've done in my life, this has been the toughest journey. You know, I was asked by somebody, "Will you do it again?" This year, I'm like, "We are doing it. We're busy doing it." And the only time I will let go of something is when I feel like I fully failed. And but the more I see that things are difficult, the more I see that things require for me to dig deep within, the more I want to go for them. Because we have to do these things in order for our children, our nieces and nephews, our neighbors' kids to know that they're possible.
You know, so that's very interesting because the Miss World brand is an established brand. It's a known brand. It's a loved brand. You are an established brand, known and loved. So when a person looks at it from the outside, you know, one in one, you know, should make 100 for you in this case. It should have been easy. Why are you saying it wasn't easy? What has been the difficulty? What has been the journey in, especially in staging the first one?
Look, I think that there are multiple things that have made it difficult. One is the fact that, you know, people didn't understand why Miss World South Africa when there is Miss South Africa. And in every meeting that we went into, we had to ensure that there's an understanding that the presence of Miss World South Africa is absolutely no threat to Miss South Africa. Both brands are necessary and they serve different purposes, and we want to see them both succeed. For me, just the idea that there was not going to be a pathway for young women in South Africa that have always wanted to be a part of Miss World to have a pathway to be a part of it, to have some sort of conduit that leads to them being on that stage, having that blue crown that allows you to impact the world in a manner that, you know, you can see Aishwarya Rai, Priyanka Chopra, so many others who've turned that crown into something of importance globally. It was important for me to make sure that young South African women had that opportunity. It was also important that I come into that space and ensure that people understand that we love the brand that's been there for so many years that has allowed South African women to get to that stage. and we don't want to get involved with the politics or otherwise of why, you know, they no longer have the license and we do. What we care about is that we have the license and we have to do right by those who believe in the Miss World brand. And I think also just globally, there's a lot of work that we have to do, particularly as Africans, to transform the beauty space. So we can only do that if we are in it. Sometimes you sit and you're watching and you see what feels like injustice. Sometimes you're sitting back and you see what feels like needs transformation, whether it's this brand, another brand, you know, so many of these beauty titles. But you can't really impact them with your arms folded.
So it's been
very interesting. The difficulty beyond just the confusion around the two brands has also been the space of time that we had to do it. You know, other brands have been going for so many years, both in South Africa and internationally. So nobody knows me for this. And I think because of my background, having worked whether it's Motswako, then Bogodos, the work that I did with UNICEF, the work that I did with UN Women, it just looked like I was not the right fit for it. You know, and I think people also from the pageantry world felt that I'd be bringing in feminist ideals that are going to kill the sexiness of what they do. But what people don't understand is that, I'm a firm feminist. I believe in women leadership. I believe in women taking up space, but I believe in women taking up spaces everywhere in whatever form they want. Sexy is good. Firm is good. Smart is good. Intentional is good. Lounging is also good. And it was, I had to work very, very hard to make sure that people understood that from our perspective as a business, we believe that women can be everyone that they want to be and everywhere that they want to be.
Yeah. You know, when I was thinking about approaching you to see if Afrobotanics can partner with you, I'm also been that hardcore feminist. Pageants were not my thing. And, you know, I had to sit down and think about it because I'm like, it must take a lot for a young woman, especially, to put herself out there, to put her ideas out there, because we've all seen, especially over the years, we've seen how smart you have to be in a very authentic way, to be able to articulate your ideas, to just put yourself out there. It's a big thing. It's not an easy task. So first of all, I think that was the first thing for me to realize that pageants aren't just about modeling and not even showing your personality. They are different. What have you discovered? Are you a pageant person? Did you enter pageants before? And what have you also realized in this journey that makes you say, I am behind women participating in pageants, and pageants are good for women?
I am behind women making their choices unencumbered by external voices. I am behind and deciding that this is what I'm going to do. This is my intention with it. And I would not like for anyone outside of myself to determine what, you know, my pathway to success is going to be, my pathway to impact is going to be. When I look at pageants today, I mean, we were sitting in India looking on that stage and you had, you know, neuroscientists come, doctor come, lawyer, producer, all these women who are accomplished in different fields, who have excelled or are in the process of excelling in different fields, and all those fields requiring more their minds than anything to do with what they looked like. So if you tell me that pageantry is about looks, then like me 2 years ago, you haven't been paying attention. Pageantry is no longer about that. You know, the last Miss World that South Africa produced was a medical doctor. Our current Miss World South Africa is a medical doctor. Dynamic, she made, I think, the top 23 in Beauty with a Purpose and head-to-head. The head-to-head challenge being tackling a globally important issue that was discussed at the G20. So that just tells you that you can't just say, hey, God has been kind, look at my face, I'm going to go out there and be a star. I've produced women's talk shows for over 20. In fact, before the Motswako for 21 years, I also had produced The Joint, which is a talk format. And if you look at the women that were placed in those seats to come and discuss issues with us and to also host the programs, you know, beauty is fleeting. What really matters is the beauty of your mind and the beauty of your heart and your ability to extract the best out of people, to extract the best information that empowers your viewer, that empowers everybody that's watching whatever it is you're working on. And I cannot emphasize enough, Ntombenhle, how in South Africa today, our definition of beauty has come to a place where I think it is at its healthiest. We really understand just the holistic picture that it requires to get to a place where you can call yourself beautiful. I don't think that it's still sort of fluffy and, you know, do you have the right lipstick shade? Have fun with makeup. Have fun with hair. That's why we want the Afrobotanics. That's why we want brands associated with us that allow us to play and enjoy our beauty, but also to be purposeful about it, to be intentional about it to the world.
I think that's what I learned as I was growing this business, that beauty is a feeling. It's about how you feel inside. And no matter how physically beautiful you may be, perfect you may be, if you don't feel it from sight, you won't feel it, one. And number two, you won't be able to express it to the world and you won't see the world as beautiful. And on that tip, on the empowerment tip, on how we've changed our perception of beauty and power, your strategy is to ensure that all women in all corners of South Africa, the 9 provinces, have the opportunity to be part of this pageant. How are you doing that? And how are you ensuring that there's mass impact?
So we are in the middle of the search. I think we're 7 days away from closing date. And it's been interesting because I'm watching the entries come in and I'm seeing some provinces sort of, you know, more involved, applying more than others. I am concerned about particularly the 2 provinces that, you know, have only sent like 1 or 2 people. I would like for this to be a pageant that allows the whole country to feel that they can be represented. So we have the online entries, and beyond the online entries, we're using the first 15 days of May to go out and do some scouting as well, and also to meet some of the young girls that have you know, given us their entries. You'll recognize that what we did this year to avoid having to go back and ask them for more information about their Beauty with a Purpose work, you know, work that they've done in the past in the communities, videos of them speaking about themselves. We've done that upfront, and I think it's also sort of deterred others from, you know, applying. So we want to go and meet the people that, you know, just sent us their name and didn't send anything else and see if we can assist them with the application. We want to see people who just sent everything but their pictures, and we'll go into the communities and make sure that we've got that. We have secret scouts also throughout the country, 2 in Mpumalanga, where Claude is from, one just volunteered, and the other one we had identified previously, 2 in KZN. I think Johannesburg, we didn't have to have scouts because, you know, you don't have to ask for people to enter. But yeah, everywhere we've just ensured that, you know, if you see talent, if you see a young woman who's doing incredible work, you give them the opportunity to be a part of this. A disclaimer that I'll make also, because, you know, I know people too. We unfortunately, despite the fact that I don't judge, we kind of, nobody who is related to me or my staff, nobody who knows me has worked with me, whether you presented WhatsApp or whatever, none of those people can ever enter, just so that it's fair. And then we can sort of judge people without knowing them on the basis of, you know, the criteria that we set out.
So what is the main criteria? What are the things that the women must have or must be doing in order to at least catch your eye?
So importantly, we have to align with the Miss World requirements. You cannot go to Miss World if you've turned 26 and a half. So if for us then, because we are crowning before that, you can't have turned 26. For us also, it's important that you're not starting a Beauty with a Purpose project just because you've been, selected to be this. You have to have been doing this. It's got to be something that you live. It's got to be something that you care about. You have to be steeped in your community, making a difference, or at least, in the process of doing that, not doing it just because of us. Pardon me?
I have a degree. Should a girl have a degree? Should
either have or be studying or have the desire to continue your education. We cannot say just because people come from families that can't afford to educate them that we don't want them to enter. But I think this becomes the process of assisting in ensuring that they can acquire one. Hence our partnership with Limkokwing University. And what we want to do is to have more easily accessible universities. I mean, we saw with last year, the young girls didn't need it, but even when they were trying to pass them on, a lot of people wanted to take up the Limkokwing scholarship, but they couldn't get to Malaysia. So those are the things that we're working on to ensure that it is easy to access the scholarship should you want it. And the 12 finalists from last year still have that as something that they can pass on to young girls that want to take up this opportunity.
Yeah. And on the flip side, why should a young want to participate or to be Miss World?
I think you should really want to be a part of this. I mean, when I used to look at beauty pageants, they want to win a car or they want to, you should want to be a Miss World South Africa because you want to serve South Africa and you want to build your name in the service industry for a future that is of significance in our country. So if you want to be a future leader, if you want your voice to matter beyond just your year of crowning, this is the pathway to that. And our hope is that as we continue, we will crown somebody who will go on to take on the blue crown for South Africa again, because we think it's important in the current dialogue around beauty globally that we begin to see more and more people that come from spaces that are not traditionally known to be defined as beautiful. I mean, it's quite an irony that we're not amongst the countries that people sort of rattle off when they talk about beauty. People talk about Venezuela, they talk about those countries. Whereas we've produced a lot of international queens. It can't be a mistake.
Yeah.
It can't be a mistake. Globally, we've been able to really punch above what people see as our weight.
Yeah. And the beauty that the queens we've produced, they're all diverse. They really represent the fact that we are a rainbow nation. So there isn't one standard of beauty that you can say this is South African, but you could sort of say that for Venezuela. That's the thing about South Africa.
Absolutely. And I think that, like I said before, what I love about what I define as South African beauty is that it's got a depth that is not necessarily inherent in so many around the world. It's easy for me to say that because I'm biased, but the truth is this has given me an opportunity to really sort of sit back and assess and engage different kinds of women. And as we look at them, you understand that, oh my goodness, she brings heart, she brings purpose, she brings passion, she brings, and those are the things that make her glow on the outside that we then finally define her as beautiful. That's not the definition that I knew of beauty as a young girl. My definition was really influenced by the kind of magazines that were so shallow that we used to read growing up, the kind of television shows that gave us people who were vacuous but happened to have a beautiful face. And we're told that's beautiful. Beauty is so much more. And as you say, beauty is an energy. I love that because I want more and more people in South Africa as they interface with the Miss World South Africa brand to understand that.
Yeah. So earlier on when we were talking, preparing for this conversation, you mentioned that this edition is different. You'll have a reality show. What else is going to be different about this Miss World essay 2024?
I think the exciting thing about this year is just the fact that I think we're breathing more. You know, what I didn't expect last year is, number one, the fact that I would have to self-fund something so big, something so important for the country. That really shook me. It looks like this year we're able to bring on board sponsors that are able to impact how we roll out the work. And that's really exciting. And I'm excited that Afrobotanics continues the journey with us as well. I think that's an exciting thing, to be able to retain all these relationships that we've built over the last year. The other exciting thing for us is that we're introducing, I'm not sure if I can talk about this, but in a partnership with one of our new and exciting sponsors, we're introducing an activation that will be taking place a week before the pageant that's going to be massive for the country. And we cannot wait for South Africans generally in the beauty space to benefit from it. We also are hosting more engagements with Miss World herself. So she'll be here soon, and we'll be going into the different communities and doing work between Miss World and Miss World South Africa. And there are a few surprises coming along as well. And we also are partnering more and more with the other countries that hold this license. It's 100, it's just under 140 countries that hold the Miss World license. And those kind of partnerships that we're doing with them are also going to be about enhancing the quality of life for the South African child.
I love that. And I think that's a different aspect that you bring in, the collaboration, because it's always seemed as if we compete and we remain as competitors. And now you are bringing in the element of collaboration. I love that. And I think during our conversation yesterday, you know, you mentioned how you, through this journey, you've realized that there are more women wanting to help each other than not. How has that experience been for you?
I mean, it's been very interesting, because obviously the noise outside speaks about how women don't collaborate, how women don't work together, how women don't build each other up. My experience, and I was reflecting on it, it's just my experience with this particular pageant. My experience generally, even how my career started, it's always been women who've taken my hand and said, we want you in this space and we want to see you succeed. If I look at the number, even my friends, you know, my girlfriends have been pillars. I mean, I remember we were all exhausted because they were working on the Miss World South Africa with me throughout for absolutely no pay. And sometimes I was aware that they're swiping their own credit cards. And, you know, I asked Yolanda and Zaki to go to England with me when I was asked to speak at the convocation of Miss Julia Morley, CBE. And it was a big deal. I was so tired. They could see that there was no way I was going to make it unless somebody was holding my hand and, you know, going with me. And both of them tried so hard eventually, but, you know, and Zaki did go with me. And for me, it's those moments where people say, I can see that, you know, you no longer have the energy and I need to just push you past this last mile. It's women like yourself that were watching us, you know, sort of struggling with sorting out things that are really basic in the space, but we're, you know, really putting our investment.
Yes.
The things that, you know, just, you know, building the right stage, doing the right lighting, getting the, accommodating them properly and all of those things. And you were like, I will take care of this, you know, it may have felt small, perhaps to you. You felt like you were doing what's natural, which is to show up for others. But for us, it was so significant. It was the difference between, you know, going ahead and not. And I think it's those moments that have made me realize that I'm fortunate to have a village of women, some that I've always known, some that I'm coming to know, but who have always just shown up for me, you know.
No, I mean, you've been able to assemble a beautiful team, and you know, your team always reflects you as the person in that. I mean, your energy just says everything. It says love, it says peace, it says beauty. You are just someone who wants to give. I can just see it, even though we've never really connected before this this process of Miss World. As a business, though, and I ask because there's a lot of pageants that are going on in the country. Would you encourage women to go into the business side of pageantry? Is it something that's worth it as a business venture?
I think it depends which one you're doing. So I admire what Miss South Africa, for instance, has done. I think they've been able to build a sustainable business by building the young girls and sending them out armed with the determination to make a difference. I think that we're very intentional about what we're trying to do. I mean, I remember there was a lot of noise I think it was on Facebook around, you know, criticizing when Claude was in India. They wanted to talk about what she was wearing. They wanted to talk about her hair. They wanted to talk about all sorts of things, which for us at the time was superfluous because our focus was on ensuring that this girl is able to be there and completely be herself and completely show up with the tools that we think are integral in leadership. For us, I don't know if, the things that people who were criticizing her were focusing on and criticizing us, essentially, were focusing on were the most important in the conversation of how we're going to give the world the best possible leader. I understand that the optics really matter, but if I've shown up and I've told you that I've given you my best, this is the best that I can do for you in respecting you and showing you that I didn't want to just wake up in my pajamas and sit in front of you. If I've shown up and put on what I believe is my best outfit and I've assembled the most incredible team of young women who are running a styling business, and I tell you that, you know, this is me. Your rejecting me tells me that I'm just not good enough for you. You cannot tell me that, I need to alter who I am because you've decided that there's certain aspects of who I am that you don't like. Some of the criticism, I could see with some people, it came from a place of care. But there was a lot of it that was just about making sure that they sort of de-campaign South Africa. And I was intent that I'm going to support this young woman. I believe in her. I believe that she's gone there with a dream that she's held in her heart from when, you know, she was still growing up with her grandmother. And I remain so proud of Claude. I did not expect that we would make the top 14 the first year. And all of this is because of his spirit, of his strength, and just of the beautiful human being that she is. And I was intent on making sure that she is protected and is not attacked by people who would rather be where she is.
Right. And I think your own personal track record speaks for itself in that you've always been about building women. Your whole career has been about that. So no one can question your intention about this. But as we close, could you share with us the moment in your life when you realize that you are your own kind of beautiful and what beauty with for purpose and what being your own kind of beautiful means to you?
I think that we either sort of search for our own beauty, search for who we are, search for those answers, or it happens to us. And I've had many moments in my life that have pushed me to a realization that, you know, so many have fallen so that I can stand. So many have lost their lives so that I could just literally have a voice. Understanding the history of my people and who I am, understanding that, you can put me in a shack today or a palace, I am unshaken about who I am. I have self-knowledge that emanates, I think, also from being raised by a very strong woman, but also having been affirmed by women that I admired throughout my life, having been affirmed by women who I look up to, who've always sort of taken my hand and said that where we are, we believe you belong to. Sometimes, you know, I felt like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure about this. But because I believed in them and I believed in their belief of me, I just rose to the occasion. And I'm just, I would like to say, I'm actually very grateful for this question, unexpected. I would like to say to every young woman who is in South Africa today, looking at the abundance of lack, which is the ultimate oxymoron, I would like them to remember that what you see has absolutely nothing to the power that lies within you. You can alter spaces that seem insurmountable. You can alter, you can just by entering the room, change the dynamic of what happens to the people within that room just by your energy and your intent and your belief in self. I think back at what happened to Jackie Mofokeng when she won in 1992-93, and just how toxic the environment was, to a point where she had to go and do interviews on radio, etc. And I look at how she changed people by simply not trying to change their views, but by asserting herself more and more and being fully herself and unapologetically so. So I ask every young woman, no matter what the space dictates, remember who you are, own who you are, be proud of who you are, and amplify your voice as much as you can by aligning with people who respect your values, who respect who you are, and who also have the same belief in themselves. The more of us go into spaces unapologetically as ourselves, the more the world changes.
Wow. We couldn't have ended this on a better note. But just one last question. Which are those provinces that we need to get more women standing up and owning their power in?
I have no idea what is happening with the Free State.
It's very weird, yes. Yeah.
In last year, I think we had four or five entrants from such a large province, and it just felt like there was an overrepresentation of Gauteng and I think the Western Cape as well as the Northern Cape did well. So we'd like to see more of the Free State. We'd like to see more. I think, you know, someone was saying to me that Mpumalanga perhaps is not pushing because they assume because the current winner is from. None of that matters. It doesn't matter where the current Miss World South Africa comes from.
Mpumalanga entrance as well. That's my home province. I must do something.
We have 10, it's a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we see lots and lots of people from whom to choose, and we want to feel that every province is represented. When we get to the 30th of April, obviously the work that begins is to shortlist from what we've got and then go into the provinces and sort of do a search. We'd like to see every province bring out every young girl that believes that they are our future leaders.
Yeah, because it's a huge opportunity. Carol, thank you so much for this opportunity. I'm so honored that you agreed to this. And I'm behind you. We are behind you all of the way in this edition and future editions of the Miss World South Africa.
Thank you so, so much. And I'm just so honored to be working with Afrobotanics. I cannot wait to be an Afrobotanics girl myself. I'm trying out wigs, which is something that I never did before. I'm trying out different styles. You know, I was a half hair, half extensions type of girl. So I love the fact that with you guys, I'll also get to experiment. Thank you very much for all the support that you've given to the young girls.
No, thank you. Thank you so much.